Welcome to Bar Fights with attorney and advocate Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter and advocating for legal, cultural, and political change everywhere in order to protect children and vulnerable adults. Joining the conversation are survivors, advocates, lawyers, media personalities, athletes, celebrities, authors, wellness aficionados, and many more. Because bringing real justice takes a team of experts who care. Now, leading the fight is your host, Sarah Klein.
Happy Monday, you guys. Today, we are having somebody on our show that I view like a true celebrity. What she's been able to do to keep children safe, which is what I aspire to do day in, day out when I do my work. What this woman has been able to do is simply incredible. I always say, you can change a lot of things with the power of a story. You don't have to know how to lobby. You don't have to know how to change law. You don't have to know. But if you have that story, the power of a story, you can take that and you can move mountains. And that's exactly what this woman has done. You guys may have heard of her. You may have seen her on Oprah, The Today Show, CBS This Morning, Good Morning America, all the things. More importantly, you may recognize something called Aaron's Law. And if you don't know what it is, don't be embarrassed, because until I had another guest on my show when we were talking about child safety, I didn't know what it was. My guest is named Erin Marin, and she is the founder and the president of Aaron's Law. And she has dedicated her life to have Aaron's Law in all the states in our country. And she has been so successful. I think last I checked, it was in 38 states, but we're going to check in with Erin today. She's going to tell us what Aaron's Law is, why it's important, why you need to know about it, and how you can do your part in keeping kids safe. You guys, I'm telling you, she is truly a hero to me. Erin, welcome to Bar Fights.
Thanks for having me.
I can't even believe, like, I give myself a pat on the back getting a little statute of limitations changed here and there. I get what it is to get laws enacted or changed. You have been so successful. Before we get into Aaron's Law, let's go back to Erin as a child. Mm-hmm. What happened to give you this fire and this passion to create Aaron's Law?
Yes. So going back, I am here in the Chicago suburbs where I grew up, and I come from a family of three girls. It was a tight-knit, close family. We had that lake house we went to on the weekends. My life was pretty perfect as a, you know, 5-6-year-old until I went to my first overnight. I met my best friend in kindergarten, and it was at her house that at the end of kindergarten, I slept over for the first time. And Ashley's life was a little different than mine. Her dad wasn't in the picture. She had a mom, a little brother, and her uncle that lived with her and kind of played the caretaker role. Anytime I played there during the day, the mom was working and her uncle was watching her. Well, it was at this overnight while I was sleeping. I woke up to the bedroom door opening and that uncle of hers coming to where I was on my sleeping bag on the ground. My friend was in her bed. And sexually abusing me and telling me to be quiet about it. I had never been educated, so I didn't go home and tell my parents. When my mom picked me up the next morning, I kept it a secret. But when she asked me to spend the night again, I, of course, said no. I feared this was going to happen again. I didn't even tell her what her uncle did because he had threatened me. Well, I continued to play over there because anytime I played over there, he was always sleeping. I found it odd. He was supposed to be watching them. And it's 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon and he was sleeping. Years later, I would find out he worked the night shift. So he slept during the day. And when he was supposed to be watching Ashley and her little brother. Well, fast forward, we are now in first grade. She's asking me to spend the night again. And this time there's another little girl that didn't go to our school sleeping over. Well, I said I'll only spend the night if we all slept on the ground together. Because in my little 6-year-old mind, I'm thinking he'd wake them up if he tried to do it again. Something I tell parents, students, everybody, if they're doing it to one kid and getting away with it, they're gonna do it to more. And that's exactly what he did that night and went down and abused all three of us.
Oh.
Don't tell anyone. I'll come find you, Aaron. His threats eventually turned to, I'll burn your house down with your family inside it. I know where you live. I'll come get you. Threatened me that if I did not come back, he would come find me so that I couldn't stay away. And this abuse continued. It eventually got to the point of just fondling to eventually raping me before I turned 7.
Oh.
Middle of the day, locks my best friend out of her own bedroom and holds me down on her bed and assaults me and threatens me once again. No one will believe you. I'll come get you if you tell anybody. So his sister was oblivious, had no idea this was going on. I ran out of her house that day, and my best friend made me pinky promise her at the end of her driveway that I would never tell anyone what he does. He had threatened her too that they would lose their home because mom couldn't afford to survive on her own without him. And that's what these predators do. They manipulate, brainwash children to stay silent. And that's what I did. And he repeatedly raped me, put handcuffs on me, tied me to beds, you name it, took pictures to get away with these evil crimes. And I was displaying all the warning signs of an abused kid. I put my hand through a window just weeks after he raped me. I was having tantrums in school. They put an individual education plan. Paperwork that I still have to this day that labels me a behavior and emotionally disturbed child. Erin has anger issues. She needs to find three goals on how to properly handle her anger. But no one was getting to the root of why I was so angry, why I was throwing these tantrums at 7 and 8 years old. They made me repeat first grade. I mean, it was all the red flags that I tell people to look for that were completely missed in my childhood. And the only reason my abuse ended is because we moved. Just before I turned 9, I was going to a new school, making new friends, and every single one of them that asked me to sleep over, I said no. My parents found it a little odd and thought maybe I was just this homebody that would get homesick and didn't want to spend the night at people's houses anymore. But they didn't know I feared my friends' dads, stepdads, older brothers. I feared waking up again in the middle of the night to being abused. So I only ever slept at aunts and uncles, grandparents' homes because I didn't trust anybody else. Little did I realize that I needed to fear my own family. And I am now 11 years old, waking up, spending the night at my grandparents' condo in Wisconsin, middle of the night, to my older teenage cousin, who was also sleeping there that night, on an air mattress with me, sexually abusing me. I mean, I'm literally pulling his hands out of my pants at 2, 3 in the morning, freaking out, thinking to myself, this is not happening. I locked eyes with him. Then I curled up in a ball and did not know what to do. And for the next hour, just wanted the sun to rise and just get out of this situation. Avoided looking at him all the next morning because I feared if I looked at him, I was trying to convince myself it was an awful dream and it really didn't happen. But deep down, I knew it did. And when I got home that night, I opened my little pink diary that I wrote about lemonade stands and what was going on in 5th grade to now something happened last night and I don't know who to tell. And I hid it under my mattress and started documenting the abuse my cousin was putting me through because it continued. And it continued for nearly the next 2 years of him threatening me. You keep this a secret. No one will believe you, Aaron. You'll destroy our family. You have no proof I'm doing this to you. These were always his threats after me holding me down on his parents' bed, in closets, in bathrooms, in basements, in cars, you name it. Any opportunity that I was over at their house, my parents having dinner, we were at some other relatives for Christmas, Thanksgiving, grandpa's birthday, or my aunt started getting me at 12 and 13 to watch my cousin Brian's two little brothers. While she ran errands, grocery store, met a friend for coffee, got her nails done. I would go over there because we lived down the street from them. So she would ask me to come over and I'd watch him for an hour. Who would appear at the door after his mother left? Brian, who would go across the street, hang out with his best friend, and then would come home and abuse me. And the only reason my abuse stopped, it wasn't because Officer Friendly, and that was what his name was, there was a cop from kindergarten to 6th grade that came in and taught us stranger danger. Showed us the creepy van, the video of the man, missing teeth, greasy hair, who was the stranger trying to lure the kids with his hand out the window with candy, walking up a road with a leash, trying to ask little kids, "Have you seen my puppy?" in the video. But I tell parents, I tell, children, 90% of the time, it's someone you know and trust that are harming kids. It's not the stranger. It's that coach, youth pastor, family member, neighbor, you name it, you get it. So, I learned all that. And it was during the time that I was being taught DARE that that same cop who now was teaching us in sixth grade the 8 ways to say no to drugs. When I travel this country to state capitals, I bring that DARE card with me. Crazy, I still have it. And I hold it up and I flip it over and I turn to legislators and say, "I learned the 8 ways on how to say no to drugs, and I have never so much as put a cigarette in my mouth because I knew the consequences." I said, "But when it came to being sexually abused, I was never taught the 8 ways on how to get away until today and to stop this. The only education I got was from these two men, and that was to keep it a secret. No one will believe you." And so that is exactly what I did. And one lesson could have gotten me to speak up as that 6-year-old, but instead, it went on for 6 years of my childhood and progressively got worse. And so, it was a result of that. The only reason I found my voice is my little 11-year-old sister, when I was 13, came to me and said that cousin was also sexually abusing her at some of the same family gatherings. He assaulted me in a garage, and then 15 minutes later, went and took her and did the same thing. So, we both came forward. It put an end to our abuse and literally began this healing journey of going down a very destructive path. After being put in counseling, not wanting to talk to counselors, I self-harmed, 16 attempted suicide, went down the eating disorder path in college. I just, I didn't know how to make the PTSD go away, how to deal with the nightmares and flashbacks. And what I finally discovered is I needed to use my voice to do something good with this. And I confronted that cousin who abused me in a 5-page letter. He shockingly responded. He was away at college, I was in high school, and we corresponded back and forth for 7 months. And I published all of those letters in my first book. And my first book was my diary that I continue to document my abuse in. Word for word, I published into a book called Stolen Innocence. And I wanted people to see, hear from a child that is being abused, why I stayed silent. The outcome and aftermath of being abused and what trauma does to you. And then the steps I took to confront my perpetrator, forgive him, and decide I'm no longer going to allow this to be a negative event in my life, but to do something positive with it. As I like to tell people, I can't change the past. So why not focus on something I can change? And that is the future. I could spend the rest of my life hating these men, but that accomplishes nothing and just keeps me angry and allows them to win. So I made the decision, let's do something positive with this and do change, make change. And I was reading that little diary one day when I was getting ready to speak, planning for a speaking event, because I travel this world speaking to thousands, millions of people now for 20 years. And I read a passage that said, "Officer Friendly came in and taught us not to talk to strangers, not to look for the lost puppy. They don't warn us about our own family. They don't teach us that in school." And I read that and went, "Oh my gosh." And I now take that diary and I read it to legislators, that passage. I learned about stranger danger, but no one ever taught me how to speak up when this was happening. And so I started to go after Aaron's Law 15 years ago in my home state of Illinois, asking that legislators require in schools taught once a year personal body safety education, empowering kids with their voice on how to speak up and tell they're being sexually abused. Safe and unsafe touch, safe and unsafe secrets. Empowering kids that you will be believed. It's the message I wish I would have had and made it my mission back in 2007 to get this passed in all 50 states.
I don't even know what to say. I mean, this story is so incredible in so many ways, but so common in so many ways too, with what you're saying about 90% being someone you know, the messaging the perpetrator is giving to the child, you will be harmed, your family will be killed, you're gonna lose this house, right? And then your big downward spiral of turning that pain and shame and trauma inward onto yourself. And then, you know, fortunately with you, you know, really going through that healing process and coming out and using what happened to you for good so that it doesn't just remain something that happened in vain. And that last piece is the part I'm so proud of you for. And, you know, it's not everybody that you and I both know get to that last piece of being able to take it and do something with it, as opposed to not being able to get back up and a life going ruined. So bravo to you, girl. And then the other thing you just said that kind of blew my mind is the time frame in which you were deciding, I'm going to try to get this law passed. This was not a topic that people talked about. There was no Me Too movement. Nobody was talking.
No.
Nasser. There was no, you know, blind
nope.
scene. So you were trying to bring an issue to light.
That was the point.
That wasn't in the light, you know? Yeah. So how were you initially met when you were trying in these first few states to get this law passed?
My state senator told me, Erin, I agree with you. We need to talk to kids about this, but they'll never teach this in school. Absolutely not. So I can't introduce this legislation. And I told him on the phone, I remember exactly where I was sitting in my parents' house. I said, if you will not do something about this, I will find somebody that will, because that's the attitude that needs to change. And if we continue to live in a world that does not talk about this with kids, you're basically handing your kids over to the rapists and saying, go on, abuse them, silence them. So if you won't help me, I'll find someone that will. 3 years later, I did. But down south in Illinois, I found a state senator that introduced it, and the rest is history. I went back and forth and testified 3 times at the Capitol. The one woman I was warned who's against school mandates, and she'd been a legislator for decades, and she was retiring that year. I was told, Erin, you need to convince majority. And she pointed out to me who she was and said, she's going to be on her microphone and be very, very outspoken for this bill not to pass. So I'm sitting there thinking, what could I say to speak to this legislator to get her on board? And so I shared my testimony about what happened to me, about how all I'm asking is for 1 hour. Just give up a music class, give up a recess, something. PE, just do it to teach these kids for 1 hour. It could be the difference between them being abused once or groomed to being abused for years. Don't you want to prevent that? So this woman was one of the first to speak. And she broke down and cried and said, had Erin's law existed when I was a child, I would have spoken up and told, but like her, I was abused for years and never told anyone because I was threatened. It's the first bill she ever supported that was a school mandate. She was written up in the newspapers because it was unheard of, this woman supporting a bill like this that required schools to do something. And the rest is history. I got it passed in Illinois and made it my decision to resign from my full-time master's level counseling job working with youth to go after this in all 50 states, and have been doing that for now the last 14 years, traveling from one state capital after another, far away as Alaska and Hawaii, testifying to legislators on the importance of this. And it is currently now passed in 38 states. Kerala, India is now requiring it. And Ontario, Canada is very close to passing it. So I have 12 states left. Something these legislators learn about me is you can't get rid of me. Your biggest headache. You don't know who you're dealing with, but I will continue to pound on your doors, blast your email account, phone calls, you name it, and go to the media and tell people that you are not protecting children. You're letting predators abuse kids and get away with it. To get this passed, I will, as I tell them, I will become your biggest nightmare if you do not get behind protecting kids. I tell these legislators, the only ones that should be fighting me not to pass this are the ones that want to sexually abuse our kids. This is a no-brainer. Why that I have to sit here and go state to state to pass this is beyond me. We teach DARE. We teach bullies, suicide prevention. Hey, so many school shootings, we now for years, decades, teach, do these lockdown drills. My kids have them all the time. lockdown drills of an intruder coming in. We want to protect kids from gun violence at school, being shot up. But there are far more kids being sexually abused in this world and have a far greater chance than your child being shot up at a school. Yes, I think it's great that we teach kids that and it's important, but this is just as equally as important. 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be sexually abused by the age of 18. We all know somebody that this has happened to, but society sweeps it under the rug. Let's look the other way, not deal with it, when the reality is it affects so many people, and that is why we need to talk about it.
You guys, I'm giving this woman a standing ovation. She is on fire. We
You
are,
tell them passionate.
I'm telling you, we are coming back next week for Aaron's Law Part 2. Stay tuned. Thanks for being here for Bar Fights.
Thank you for listening to Bar Fights with attorney Sarah Klein, taking on issues that matter. Please check out our website at barfightspodcast.com, Instagram at barfightspodcast, or Twitter at barfights_pod for the latest show updates and archives.